I do preach righteousness by faith, righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. But this weekend we're talking to Seventh-day Adventists, and the subject may be a little heavily weighed on the doctrinal side. So if it is, bear with me. And if you want to hear me preach on the righteousness of Christ, there are tapes available, and I do preach the righteousness of Christ. But we're talking about the 144,000 sealed ones. When we discuss the subject of the 144,000, there is almost always one part of their character that is left out that you never hear any discussion of. We hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I want to be one of the 144,000, and the servant of the Lord tells us to strive with all our might to be one of the 144,000. So we can't be one of them if we don't know what their characteristics are. And one part of their characteristics that is almost always left out is that concerning their diet, what they eat. And that's why I've chosen this part of the subject of the 144,000. I have entitled it, Nobody Tells Me What to Eat. And you know, that's our attitude, isn't it? But the children of God are termed in the Bible as a peculiar people. The Lord wants a separated people, a people distinct from those in the world. And He is not satisfied, He cannot be satisfied until there are a group of people that will meet His standards and His requirements. If He could be satisfied with us just like we are, then there is no need for a Savior, if we could go to heaven just like we are. To find out about this peculiar people, you may want to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, where we read, You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself. Above all the nations that are on the earth, you are a holy people, a peculiar people. It has always been God's plan that those who serve Him should be different from the rest. There should be something that sets them apart. They should be a holy people, one that follows the dictates of the Lord's will rather than their own hearts, or even follows the leading of great men. This was His purpose with ancient Israel. This was His purpose with the early apostolic church, to show forth His praises, to have a people whom the whole watching universe could see the image of Jesus reflected in. And over again in the Old and the New Testament, we find it stressed, God's people are to be peculiar. Not peculiar in the sense that they're odd, even though that's what we bear, you know, those Seventh-day Adventists, they're peculiar people, they're weird. But that's not the meaning of the word peculiar. It means different, changed people. That's what the Lord is looking for. Volume 1 of the Testimonies, 287. Those who will be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ to the immortal inheritance will be peculiar. Yes, so peculiar that God places a mark on them that describes them as His, wholly His. What is the mark that God places upon His people? The seal of the living God. That we spoke of last night in Revelation chapter 7 and also in Ezekiel 9. It's the mark that God places on His people that sets them apart from the rest. The Lord loves those who will make a total surrender to Him. It is His plan that He will give all the riches that heaven can afford to them. But the trouble with so many of us is that we give our hearts to Jesus. Yes, we all say we have. We trust Him as our Savior from sin. And then we just lean back on that wonderful experience, what the Lord did for me. But that's not enough, saints. Unless we can say, the Lord is presently doing something for us. Something is wrong. You know, we used to have a saying in the Pentecostal church. When people got up to testify, we had different ones. I remember one dear old lady. Her testimony would always be, I've been in the way 40 years, you know. And sometimes I think that's the trouble with us. We've been in the way too long. The Lord can't work with us because we are blocking His moving in our life. We fail to grow. We fail to study. You know, it's sad but true. 90% of Seventh-day Adventists, the only gospel they hear is what's presented from the pulpit on Sabbath morning. They never study, they never pray, they never read for themselves. That experience will not take you to the kingdom. We fail to search out the things that He would have us to do in order to become His special treasure, His peculiar people. Now, I know the subject that I'm studying this morning is not a popular one, but it's one that's necessary. And I pray that those of you that are here this morning, you didn't get last night, and maybe you won't get this afternoon, that you won't go away and say He's preaching heresy. I am known as an odd preacher, but I don't preach heresy. If you find me stepping out of the book or the inspired writings, you call my hand. As long as I stay in the book and the inspired writings, I'm on safe ground. And I pray that you'll be stimulated this morning by things that said to take the books off of the shelf and study them to see whether or not these things be so. God desires a peculiar people. If there is one thing that sets the people of God apart from the rest of the world, it's health reform. Health reform. There are other churches that has the Sabbath. There are other churches that believe in the state of the dead. There are other churches that hold the other marks that we hold. But we are peculiar in that we are the only church that teaches health reform. Now remember, we're discussing the distinguishing marks of the 144,000. And keep in mind that the 144,000 will be translated from the earth without tasting of death. Now that's what we're going to be talking about this afternoon's meeting. Keep this in mind. It was in 1865 that the Lord's message received the first vision concerning help from the Lord. And from that day until she fell asleep in 1915, the searchlight shone brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter on the message of health reform. In fact, the message of health reform, the light that has been given to us, is so bright that you will have to be blind to miss your way. It's so bright. But sad to say, much of this light has not been appreciated by the Church of God, and we are the poorer for it. You remember our opening text, Deuteronomy 14. And he goes on in that chapter, and he gives Israel explicit directions as to what they should eat and what they should not eat. And saints, I remind you that God has given modern Israel, the remnant people, explicit directions concerning what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat. The Bible makes it clear that there are certain things that we as Christians should not eat. Volume 3 of the Testimonies, bottom of 61 and the top of 62. For years, the Lord has been calling the attention of His people to health reform. This is one of the great branches of the work of preparation for the coming of the Son of Man. John the Baptist went forth in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare the way of the Lord, to turn the people to the wisdom of the just. Notice this. He was a representation of those living in the last days. John the Baptist. John was a reformer. His diet, purely vegetable, was a standing rebuke to the indulgences of appetite that prevailed. The great subject of reform is to be agitated, and the people's minds is to be stirred. Who is John the Baptist a representation of? Who? I didn't hear you. Seventh-day Adventists, those that live on the earth in the last days. So God is calling you and I to give special attention to our habit of diet. This is a thing that He points to. Again, volume 2, bottom of 63 and the top of 64. Will the people who are preparing to become holy, pure, and refined, that they may be introduced into the society of heavenly angels, continue to take the life of God's creatures and subside on their flesh and enjoy it as a luxury? From what the Lord has shown me, this order of things will be changed, and God's peculiar people will exercise temperance in all things. Those who subside largely upon flesh cannot avoid eating the meat of animals who are to a greater or lesser degree diseased. The liability to take disease is increased tenfold by meat eating. We say to you, brother or sister, your safest course is to let meat alone. Now, I don't want to shock any of you, but I wonder, is anybody here this morning that's ever been through a meat packing plant? There's a brother over here. There's another brother back there. Go through it sometime. It'll change your whole idea of what you eat. Now, the thing that I'm presenting to you during this course of meeting is being done with love and all the concern that I can give. Because we're talking about the people of God who are living upon the earth in the last days. Really, we're talking about you and me. Because you and I are seeing the end of all things. Now, I don't know how many of you are meat eaters and how many of you are not. That's not any of my business. And I do want to say right now that nobody, well, I better take that back. One person influenced me to preach this message this morning. And it was not your pastor. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you fall out with Him. My job is to present to you the light from the Word of God. And I pray, saints, that your hearts and minds will be open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that you will allow Him to lead you. You know, there's more to our subject than first meets the eye. And that's what I'm presenting to you, hoping to enlighten you as to what it's going to take to be one of the living overcomers. Counsels on Diet and Foods, page 400. There are those among Seventh-day Adventists who will not heed the light given to them in regard to this matter. They make flesh meat a part of their diet, and for many years the light of health reform has been coming to the people of God. But many have made it a subject of jest. They have continued to use tea, coffee, spices, and flesh meat. Now you say, oh, these things are not part of the rules of the church. We don't intend to make them part of the rules of the church. But we're talking about the living overcomers and their desire to go all the way with the Lord. Their desire to be a living sacrifice, knowing that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. These things that we've mentioned are harmful to the body. We don't have to go into details. Medical science tells us these things. Every day, medical science is coming up with proof that what the servant of the Lord said 100 years ago is the truth. We've had the message and we haven't appreciated it. These are things that the Lord has been pleased to point out to His people through the gift of prophecy. And saints, I say to you that if you and I believe that God spoke through a frail woman by the name of Ellen Harmon White, then we are bound to heed the light that God gave through her. And if we don't, we suffer. God is doing a special work in these last days through a special people. They receive special instruction. You know, every move that God has ever made, He's given light for that hour. And you and I who are living in the closing minutes of earth's probation have been given not just a little flashlight to see our way with, but we've been given all the light that heaven can afford. It's shining on us. God wants to prepare a people who reflect the image of Jesus. A people who He can show to the world and say, see, here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Remember John the Baptist? A representation of those living in the last days from Desire of Ages, page 100. John was to go forth as Jehovah's message to bring to men the light of God. He must give a new direction to their thoughts. He must impress them with the holiness of God's requirements and their need of His perfect righteousness. Such a messenger must be holy. He must be a temple for the living God. In order to fulfill his mission, he must have a sound physical constitution and mental and spiritual strength. Therefore, it would be necessary for him to control the appetites and passions. John was to stand as a reformer. Are you doing this? Have you vowed by the grace of God to follow all the light that He gives, whether or not you see the need of it, or the why it must be done? We were talking this morning about sharing the good news of salvation with other people. And the remark was made that we can't share anything we don't have. And the servant of the Lord says John the Baptist must impress the people with the holiness of God's requirements and their need for His perfect righteousness. Such a messenger must be holy. He must be a temple for the living God. And you and I, may I say, saints, we must live in such a way as to attract people's attention to the way we live, so that they will inquire what it is that makes us so different. And you see, the way is open for us to share. God has given us some wonderful truths through the gift of prophecy, and we cannot ignore it and hope to go all the way to the kingdom. Again, counsels on diet and foods, 402. Concerning flesh meat, all we can say is let it alone. And all should bear clear testimony against tea and coffee, never using them. They are narcotics, injurious alike to the brain and the body. Every penny expended for tea, coffee, and flesh meat is worse than wasted. For these things hinder the development of the physical, mental, and spiritual powers. What a powerful testimony is contained in those few words. I remember when I came into the Seventh-day Adventist Church, if there was anything that I'm sure that our other brother from Alabama can say, folks in the South drink a lot of tea. You know, this is the thing that we drink a lot of. And it was hard for me to give it up. My wife did not become an Adventist at the same time that I did. She became one 4 years later. And she was hooked on tea worse than I was. And the pastor came over and he began to talk to her as she was preparing for baptism after she accepted the Lord as her Savior. And he explained, he said, sister, you know, this is not a doctrine of the church that you have to give up these things. And you know, she said something that every born-again believer should echo. She says, I don't care whether it is a doctrine of the church. If my Lord says give it up, that's enough for me. And that should be our testimony. And the Lord, through His messenger, has said give it up. And that should be enough for us. Oh, some of you cry, well, that's a matter of individual choice. It only affects your physical body. But saints, the Lord says they hinder the best development of the physical, mental, and spiritual conditions. All three nations. We can't escape it. We are what we eat. And we are what we drink. And by ignoring instructions given to us through the pen of inspiration, we lay the foundation for something far, far worse. Our time is running away. We must hasten on. Genesis 2, 8 and 9. I'm not going to read these texts. You can look them up. God gives here the original diet, one that He planned for mankind to eat on, because He knew what was best for us. And you know, we find today the very best scientists, the very best doctors telling us that everything we need for our physical development is found in God's original plan, nuts, grains, vegetables, and fruits. Oh, you say, well, there's some acids and some vitamins that's not there. Yes, but they tell us that if we eat nuts, grains, vegetables, and fruits, our bodies will make these acids and minerals and whatever that's not supplied there. See, God's not crazy. God knew exactly what He was doing when He gave us this instruction. So why should we get our protein secondhand when we can get it from the original source? Furthermore, saints, tests have been conducted and have proven that those who follow God's plan for their eating have strength and endurance far surpassing any of those who subside on a flesh diet. And may I say to you that in the very near future, that those who stand firm for God is going to have great need of strength and endurance. They're going to have this need during the time of trouble. Well, if the vegetarian diet was the original, when did meat eating come in? We know it came in during the days of the flood, when the clean animals were taken on by 7 and the unclean were taken on by 2. And then there's Genesis 9, chapter 9, where God, because of the lack of vegetation, permitted Noah and his family to eat of the clean animals. But that was only a temporary measure until crops could be grown. But I tell you, we got hooked back there on meat. The human race got hooked on it. And what has been the result? Before the flood, how tall did folks live to be? How tall were they? 12, 14 feet tall. How long did they live? 900 years long. But what happened after the flood? We began to decrease, and our years fell off. I tell you, God is a wise God. But still, He works in His people. And we move now to when He called them out of Egypt in our scripture reading. When God called the children out of Egypt, what did He give them to eat? I didn't hear you, saints. Speak up. Manna. He rained manna down from heaven. Rained it down by the bushel, all they could ever desire to eat. And why was He doing that? He was desiring to get them back on the original diet. That was his purpose, Exodus 16. He wanted to get them back to being a peculiar people. This was in our scripture text, Exodus 9, 5 and 6. He was trying to lead them into a position, an experience that would enable them to show forth his praises. How long did they eat manna? How long? 40 years. How many doctors did they need back then? They didn't have a doctor in the house. They didn't need one as long as they was on God's original diet. Now, I'm not trying to say you'll never get sick if you're a vegetarian. But God can and will do wonders through you if you sell out completely to Him. For the children of Israel murmured against the Lord. The devil got in the picture, the servant of the Lord says, and he stirred up the mixed multitudes. And you know, isn't that the way he always works? He stirs up the mixed multitudes in the church. Those that are half converted, half of the Lord's and half the world, that's the one the devil gets at in the church. And he stirs them up, and they begin to murmur and complain and grumble, and pretty soon the saints has caught the disease. That's the way he worked back then. He got in the mixed multitudes. And he said, you know, you had some mighty fine eating back there in Egypt. They begin to murmur and complain. We ain't having fried chicken, you know, like we got back there in Egypt. We ain't got none of them steaks like we had on our table. And pretty soon the children says, you know, that's right. That was good fried chicken back there. Wonderful fried chicken. We want some meat to eat. They failed to follow the plan of God, and they suffered. It was always God's intention that His people should be a vegetarian people. And some of them were. How do I know? Volume 4 of the Bible Commentaries, 1166 and 1167. As Daniel and his fellows were brought to the test, what test? What test? Whether or not to eat of the king's table, they placed themselves fully on the side of righteousness and truth. They decided that as flesh meat had not composed their diet in the past, it should not come into the diet in the future. There it is. Daniel and the faithful ones in Israel were not meat eaters. What has this to do with us that are living on the very brink of eternity? It has a lot to do with us. I imagine by now some of you are saying, what has vegetarianism got to do with being a part of the 144,000? Simply this, Councils on Diets and Foods 380. Among those who are waiting for the coming of the Lord, meat eating will eventually be done away with. Flesh will cease to form a part of their diet. Same book, 381. Those who have received instruction regarding the evils of the use of flesh foods, tea and coffee, and who are determined to make a sacrifice with God by a covenant with God by sacrifice, will not continue to indulge their appetite for food they know to be unhealthful. God demands that the appetite be cleansed and that self-denial be practiced in regards to those things which are not good. This is a work that will have to be done before His people can stand before Him a perfected people. Those two statements are taken from the section in the book Councils on Diet and Food entitled Preparation for Translation. So may I dare suggest to you, and I'm not out of the realm of Scripture nor the spirit of prophecy, that no meat eaters will be translated. Now that may shock and upset and offend some of you, but it is the words of the servant of the Lord. If you eat meat, you'll go by the way of the grave. And I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go that way. Nobody tells me what to eat. That's the cry of thousands and tens of thousands in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Councils on Diet and Food. There are those who are to be awake to the dangers of meat eating, who are still endangering the physical and mental and spiritual health. Many who are only half converted on the question of meat eating will go from God's people to walk no more of them. Why? When? Right now, in the present. They're going to be shaken out because they've not taken a stand on the platform of truth. What is it going to take, saints, for some of us to listen to the voice of the Lord? But still we murmured, just like the children of Israel did in the wilderness. Give me meat to eat, they cried. The Lord says, all right. You want meat? I'll give you meat. I'm not going to give you one day's supply of meat. Not 2 days' supply of meat, not 5, neither 10, nor 20. But he says, and this is the Lord's word, he says, even a whole month till it comes out your nostrils, and you get sick at the sight of it. Now, that's the Lord's word. He said, I'm going to give it to you till you just can't stand to see it. Because he said, by desiring meat, you have despised me. And he sent quail to them till they lay in great heaps all around the camp. And the scripture says, while the flesh was yet between their teeth, the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Because they would not follow his teaching. Counsels on Diet and Foods 377, he let them suffer the results. Burning fevers cut down very large numbers of them as they ate the meat. Why? Because they refused to heed the Lord's call. Aha! I can hear somebody out there, you're thinking it in your mind. I've got you. The church hasn't got one thing in our manual about meat eating. It's not a test of fellowship. That's right. It never has been, is not, and never will be a requirement for church membership. And why should it? Well, I can see by the look on several of your faces, you're confused. Because here I've been bringing out all these points against meat eating, and now I turn right around and say that it's not a test of fellowship. And I'm going to tell you why it's not a test of fellowship. This is the way it really is, saints. You see, really, truly converted people don't need a list of don't. They don't need it. Because, you see, their desire is automatically to follow the Lord. They love Him so much that they don't need nobody telling them what they can do and can't do. The Lord speaks to their hearts and their minds. And they read, they study, they pray, and they listen. And as the Lord reveals the way, they say, this is the way I'm going to walk in it. They don't only seek, this is my thought on this subject. They don't only seek the acceptable will of God. They don't only seek the good will of God, but they seek the perfect will of God for them. It's their desire to please Him, withholding no areas of their life for personal selfish desire. And that's why those that are sealed with the seal of the living God who will be among the 144,000, they don't need to have the pastor or the elder coming around and saying, now brother, now sister, you got to get rid of your chicken. You got to get rid of your steak. You got to get rid of your hamburger. They don't need the pastor and the elders coming around because you see, they love the Lord so much, they've already done it. They've already done it. They're walking in the light. Now listen, we have to walk in the light as we see the light. Understand that? Immediately after the light shines, they begin to walk. Some of us have never had the light that we should give up flesh food. And therefore, you're not held accountable. But there's not a one of you can go forth out of here this morning and say you haven't had the light. We need to walk in it because God is trying to do something among His people. He's shaking us up to find out which way we're going. And saints, that's the why the remnant church has never made the eating of meat nor the wearing of wedding ring a test of fellowship. Because the following of the perfect will of God has to come from a heart experience. It can't be legislated or dictated. It's got to be done through love or it's not acceptable to God. And you can't legislate love. You can't dictate love. You can't make people love. It comes from the heart. And we can't write it in a rule book that the way you prove your love to God is you do this or you don't do that. That doesn't mean a hill of beans. It's got to come of our own free choice simply because we want to live in obedience to our Lord's will. And that will be the experience of the living overcomers. They will want to live in accordance with the Father's will. And automatically, as the Lord shows them things, they will lay them aside and move on to perfection. You know, I've talked, the same thing is true in my life, and I'm sure that it is in yours, but I've been a Seventh-day Adventist Christian since 1971. And still, continually, the Lord is showing me things that I need to lay aside and areas that I need to move up with Him. And this is a daily thing. Just as soon as the Lord shows us one thing and we lay it aside, He shows us something else, you see. He's proving us point by point, and somebody falls out at every point. But the one that passes all tests, the one that goes all the way, they're going to be sealed, and the rest are going to fall by the way. The desire of those who will be sealed will be this, Father,
Is what I'm doing displeasing to you? I'll give it up. I'll give it up, Lord. Is this thing that I'm holding on to, Father, is it hindering my relationship with you? I've forgotten it. I've put it out of my life. Father, will I stumble over this thing? Here it is. I lay it on the altar. I give it to you. Because, Father, it's my desire to walk hand in hand with you. Until one day you tell me, just like you did Enoch, you know, it's closer to my house than it is yours. Come on and go home with me. And that's what the Lord's going to say one day to the living overcomers. You know, we've been walking together so long now, till it's closer to heaven than it is back. And I'm going to take you home. That's the testimony of the living overcomers. But the important question, is it my testimony? No, meat eating is not a test of fellowship. But listen to these words from Councils on Diets and Foods, 401. While we do not make the use of flesh meats a test, while we do not want to force anyone to give up its use, but if in the face of the light God has given you concerning the effects of meat eating, you still continue to eat meat, you will bear the consequences. What is it going to take to bring us into harmony with the will of God? Will you say yes to all His commandments, even though it cuts across your path? Or will you be one of those who will eventually walk with the people of God no more because you rather gratify self than to please the Lord? Time is slipping away, saints. Remember, our translation experience may rest wholly on our victory over appetite. It is only through obedience that we shall overcome as Christ overcomes. Councils on Diets and Food, 59. Now, as you move out to follow the Lord, don't expect every church member to follow you too. Don't expect them to move at the same time you do, because you see, many have never had the light that you have. And then, sad to say, some are just too lazy. It's too hard. And yet, there's another group that know the truth, but from plain insubordination, disregard it. I don't want to do it. Don't let anybody hinder you in doing what the Lord leads you to do. Because if you let brother A or sister B influence you, they may influence you out of the kingdom of God. Be obedient, saints. The Lord is calling His people to diet reform so that He may show forth to the world His praises through them. And one day, He's going to look out over the battlements of heaven. And He's going to look down at this sin-cursed world. And He's going to say, yonder is a group that keep My commandments. And they have the faith of My Son Jesus. Angels, prepare to go and bring them up where they can live with Me forever. Will you be one of that group? Shall we pray? Father dear, we have brought some strong doctrine this morning. But it has not been of our desire, it has been of Thine. And we pray, Father, that the message will go home to hearts that need it. And that out of this congregation gathered here in the Oakwood Seventh-day Adventist Church, that there will be a great multitude who will join around the throne singing praises to Thee. Save, Father, we pray, all in this church who desire to go all the way, and we know that You will save them all. And Father, if there are those this morning who have not had the light, but their minds have been opened and enlightened this morning, we pray that You will lead them step by step until they will be in obedience to all of Your commands. We ask in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.